From NPR News, this is live coverage of the Iowa caucuses. I'm Robert Siegel. The process of picking presidential candidates for 2012 has officially begun.
I'm caucusing for Ron Paul.
Gingrich.
Senator Santorum.
I'm supporting Rick Perry.
I'm for Mitt Romney.
Among Republicans, entrance polls show Mitt Romney and Ron Paul leading, with Rick Santorum in third. No contest, of course, on the Democratic side. So far, GOP caucusgoers, for them the big question is who can beat Obama?
There's a lot of pressure where they're thinking with their heart, thinking with their mind, thinking about how can we win. You know, the old saying, if you don't win, you don't govern.
An hour ago, the doors closed at caucus sites across Iowa. Speeches were made and votes cast. The gatherings will be wrapping up in the next hour or so, and we'll be following the tally tonight. We'll check in with candidates' headquarters in Des Moines. We'll hear from our contributors. All this special coverage of the Iowa caucuses from NPR News. From NPR News, this is live coverage of the Iowa caucuses. I'm Robert Siegel. By now, undecided Republicans in Iowa have decided. Precincts are sending in their results now, and here's what we can tell you at this point. Based on early entrance polls, Mitt Romney and Ron Paul are leading, and Rick Santorum is running third. This comes, as I said, from entrance polls and also actual caucus tallies. They're compiled by Edison Research for the National Election Pool of Media Organizations. We'll be talking this hour with our reporters in Iowa, hearing from a couple of them in just a moment. But first, I'm turning to Mara Liasson, NPR national political correspondent, who's in our studio. And Mara, we don't have a lot of data to go on right now, but we've seen a few waves of polls from Iowa. What do you see?
Well, we see what the polls told us, which is that Mitt Romney, Ron Paul are leading in this race. Rick Santorum is up there. So we've got three leaders. The big question is who's going to be first, second, and third, and what's going to be the spread between them? I think Mitt Romney has a bar he has to hurdle, which is he has to do better than he did in Iowa last time, which is 25%. He's the 25% man. Mm-hmm. That's how he polls. He doesn't ever seem to get above that. But I think to have a decisive win, he would like to get above that. He also can't be a distant second to Paul or Santorum, although coming in second to either of them wouldn't really dent his chances of getting the nomination.
At one point, he wasn't even going to contest the
That's
Iowa
right.
caucuses. Well, NPR's Sonari Glinton is in Iowa. He's at a Republican caucus site. He's in the cafeteria of Van Meter Junior Senior High School in Van Meter, Iowa. And Sonari, what have you heard from Republican caucus goers today?
Well, we just got a little bit of news. Mitt Romney won this caucus here, and followed by Rick Santorum, and coming in third here was Ron Paul. So this caucus ran with incredible efficiency. It was over in less than 40 minutes, and they just spent a little extra time going over the more than 200 votes that were cast here.
More than 200 votes, but this, of course, is going on in hundreds of sites all over Iowa. So we're not going to infer too much from it. What is the caucus like? What did you think?
It was standing room only. A lot of people, you know, it was sort of like old home week, people trying to convince their friends and neighbors about the candidates. There's a lot of convincing going on to get people to move over to Mitt Romney for the people who consider themselves value voters. And you could, see the actual person-to-person conversations in the hour that led up to the beginning of the caucus. So which was really interesting to see everyone pumped and excited about the race.
And was there any particular history to this caucus? Do we know if Romney did it all well there 4 years ago?
Romney did very well here 4 years ago. You know, we're just 20 miles west of Des Moines, and you know, this part of Iowa 4 years ago was pretty strong for Romney at the time.
So he repeated in the same caucus where he had done well in 2008.
Yes.
How's the weather there, by the way? Did people brave the cold, or is it fairly temperate?
Well, you know, they jammed us in the lunchroom, and it was so hot with all the people here. But it's really cold. As a matter of fact, for most of the caucus, we had the doors open to try to cool things off.
So you're suggesting people may have gone to the caucus yourself, for example, for warmth, is what you're telling me.
Yes, indeed, Robert.
Okay, it's NPR's Sonari Glinton, who's reporting from a Republican caucus site in Iowa. Again, what we see in the early entrance poll results and from some model precincts throughout the state is essentially two of the candidates running very strong. It's Mitt Romney and Ron Paul. And Rick Santorum, so far, running reasonably strong third. Mara Liasson, we cover these Iowa caucuses for lack of any other process in the presidential selection season, but in truth, they're not the best forecasters, not the best indicators of what happens.
No, sometimes the winner of the Iowa caucus goes on to win the nomination. Sometimes they don't. Sometimes they end up being the president, and sometimes they don't. But they certainly aren't a predictor the way South Carolina is, which has an unbroken record of choosing the nominee. But it is interesting to tell you a little bit about where the Republican Party is. We know from the exit polls, or the entrance polls, actually, that the profile of the party is very similar to what it was 4 years ago. 60% consider themselves born-again or evangelical voters. 81% consider themselves either somewhat conservative or very conservative. And it's interesting, Mitt Romney is certainly one of the most moderate among the leading candidates, and he's doing just fine so far, even in a very conservative electorate. That tells you that electability, which is Romney's main argument for himself, is important this
and
year.
We should just say Iowa, in the last several elections, has been more Democratic than Republican in November.
Yes, but it's certainly a swing state this year.
Okay, it's NPR's Mara Liasson talking about the Republican caucuses in Iowa from NPR News. This is live coverage of the Iowa caucuses from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel, and now we're going to get to hear from some of the Republicans who headed out into a cold night to cast their votes.
My name is Denny Kyle in Sioux City, Iowa, and I am supporting Newt Gingrich. He just didn't get into the race and decide what his positions are. It's things that he's thought about for a long time, and that's what we need, somebody with some solutions.
Chris Hestead, Ames, Iowa. Yeah, I'm from Mitt Romney. I like everything that he says. I think he's got the best chance of beating President Obama next year.
Sarah Phillips. I live in Cedar Rapids. Right now I'm caucusing for Ron Paul. I am really interested in his look at the wars and our current nation building that we're doing.
My name's Greg Hulbert. I live here in Cedar Rapids. My wife and I had a chance to listen to Senator Santorum here in late December. He brought to the table what I feel reflect the values that my wife and I both have of faith, family, and freedom.
So some caucus goers in Iowa, people who cast their votes in Sioux City, in Ames, and also in Cedar Rapids. NPR's Ari Shapiro is in Des Moines at the Hotel Fort Des Moines. That is Mitt Romney headquarters. And what are you hearing there, Ari?
Well, you know, it's very close, as we expected all along. We don't know who's going to come in 1, 2, and 3, but looks like Mitt Romney will be somewhere in there. The campaign has been saying all along that they were certainly not hinging their bets on Iowa. And in fact, this campaign believes they are the only ones who have built the infrastructure, the ground game, and the finances to really go state after state after state. So they have their fingers crossed that Mitt Romney will be the winner tonight. There are already crowds gathering excitedly to see what will happen, but they're not counting on it.
And again, Romney is getting a strong race from Ron Paul, the Texas congressman, and from Rick Santorum, the a former senator from Pennsylvania as well. Do we expect a speech from the candidate at some point?
Yeah, he's going to be spending the night in Des Moines, and so we do expect to hear from him. There is a stage set up with a podium and microphones at the front. It looks, you know, very regal, presidential, one might say. And that's the message that he's tried to project from the very beginning, that he's the guy who's going to go head-to-head with Barack Obama at the end of the day. And I expect that whether he wins or loses tonight, that's the message we're going to hear from him, is that he's prepared to take on President Obama in the general election. Whether he becomes the nominee after just a few states or after many, many states, he's prepared to tough it out.
And his argument of electability seems to have resonated with caucus goers in Iowa. For those who say that's the most important factor in whom they supported today, Mitt Romney has done very well with that.
Exactly. A lot of people I talk with say that it came down to choosing between their head and their heart. And those who at the end said they went with their head generally seem to have chosen Mitt Romney.
It's NPR's Ari Shapiro speaking to us from Mitt Romney headquarters. It's at the Hotel Fort Des Moines in Des Moines, Iowa. E.J. Dionne, our regular political contributor, is in, he's one step ahead of us. He's actually in New Hampshire. And his opposite number, Matt Continetti, is here in the studio in Washington. So the two of you are joined together. E.J., how are you?
I'm really well. It's really cold. Matt made a good decision to stay in Washington.
you wrote one of the earlier columns forecasting a very strong Rick Santorum showing in Iowa. You have some time to gloat right now, if you'd like.
Well, bless you for that. I think what's going to be interesting is if Santorum doesn't pull it out, one of the main reasons will be that the conservative vote, the evangelical vote, remains split. I was looking at the county returns. Calhoun County, it was a Mike Huckabee county the last time, and toward northwestern Iowa. Huckabee beat Romney there 40% to 15%. Santorum in the early returns was beating him too, but he was beating him 30% to 12%. Perry was second. Gingrich was third. But what's striking is how many, if looking at the entrance polls, Santorum's vote was almost entirely from people who decided late. This was a surge candidacy. The other thing that really jumped out at me from these numbers is that the Romney electorate is very much a middle-aged and older electorate, and the split in the Republican Party is not anymore between moderates and conservatives. It's between people who are very conservative, which is about half the caucus goers, and then everybody else, the somewhat conservatives and the moderates and the handful of liberals who are left. Romney lost the very conservative vote. Santorum carried them, but again, he split them with other candidates. Romney was strong with the somewhat conservatives and the moderates. Ron Paul is the young person's candidate tonight. There aren't a lot of young Republicans, but they were overwhelmingly for Ron Paul in the caucuses.
Now, let me just add here, E.J. Dionne speaking to us from New Hampshire, actually, but what we're talking about, the numbers that E.J. is referring to are the numbers in the still incomplete entrance poll that we have today, which is combined with some results from key model precincts, you know, a small model of the overall caucus in Iowa. And that tells us that it's a pretty good night for Romney, Ron Paul, Rick Santorum, and that's the top three. But we're waiting for more numbers to come in through the evening, and of course we're waiting for actual caucus results to come in, and that'll be a little while later. Matt Continetti, now contributing editor to Weekly Standard, is with us. What do you think about what E.J. sees here?
E.J. is a very perspicacious observer of American politics, and I think he was spot on. One thing that strikes me is we're headed toward a photo finish between Paul and Romney. I think it will be a close race. And what that brings to mind is, you know, the Republicans had election envy in 2008. They finished their nomination process early, and they looked at this fantastic campaign between Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and said, we want to have that type of excitement. And so they changed the way that delegates will be allocated, at least through this first month. They're not winner-take-all, which is the traditional Republican way of allocating delegates to the convention. It's going to be proportional. What that means is we're going to get a very muddled delegate count out of this, what we're looking at, these numbers right now, and it will be competitive moving into New Hampshire, South Carolina. We could end up having a relatively long race, actually, between Paul, Romney, Perry, Santorum, duking it out for months.
Well, Mara Lyson, but let me just cut off for a second. We'll return to the calendar in a moment because we have to get to Doug Weed, who's joining us by phone right now. He is a Ron Paul campaign advisor, a presidential historian. He's in O'Brien, Iowa. Doug Weed, strong showing, it seems, for Ron Paul. He could win before the night is over. If he does, what does he do next?
He goes on to New Hampshire because the template that you use in Iowa will work with tweaking in other states, tweaking for regions. When you get these national polls, someone voting in California in a Rasmussen poll is not focused on exactly, the vote's not imminent. They haven't fully decided. But these voters in Iowa, they've come down to crunch time. They've decided. So if our template works in Iowa, it will, the advertising, the ground game, the coalitions, then we know that it can work with some adaptation in other states.
In other states, including New Hampshire, or do you really look ahead now to South Carolina or Florida next?
No, we will compete in New Hampshire. Your previous speaker really tells why, and the fact that these delegates are distributed proportionally, it's a totally new ballgame. These changes were made really to benefit Romney so that a large southern bloc could not take Romney out of the race. But in a way, it could very well work against him For example, New Hampshire will not have many delegates because they're penalized for having moved their primary up. Florida as well, which is a state that Romney will be competitive in, will be penalized and not have as many delegates because, ironically, they moved it up early to try to benefit Romney. And the delegates tonight will not be apportioned based on this beauty vote. That was something that was discussed earlier, I overheard on your program. That's not the way it'll happen. Mm-hmm. The way it'll happen is after the beauty contest, those delegates who remain, those caucus goers who remain and vote to send the delegation to the state convention where the delegates will be chosen at the national convention. And that's where organization pays. And that's why a search new candidate like Santorum is going to have to really scramble. He's not on the ballot in Virginia, and he may come out of this doing well without necessarily delegates.
But Mr. Weed, one other question, though, about your man, about Ron Paul. It's been observed very, very often that Mitt Romney seems to have a 24-25% ceiling in polls and generally. Ron Paul seems to be a candidate whose appeal could be limited. It could be confined to people who take a combination of libertarian views on some domestic policies and very non-interventionist, perhaps isolationist views in foreign policy. Do you think he really can pull more than, say, 25-30% of the Republican primary electorate?
Well, it's interesting. You know, they said that he could never get above 6%, and when he broke into double digits, they said, well, he can never get beyond 14%. Now you're telling me he won't get beyond 26%. Actually, the polls, Ron Paul is a secret hidden in plain view. The polls, whether it's the ABC Washington Post poll last week, the NBC poll, the CNN poll, this latest PPP poll, if you will look at those polls, you'll see some striking features. They strike us anyway. Number one, in the PPP poll, Ron Paul was leading among evangelicals with 21% of the vote.
I'm going to allow you only one more observation before we run out of time.
Okay. The last observation would be when you put Ron Paul against Barack Obama, he actually does better than Newt Gingrich, and he's within the statistical margin of error with Mitt Romney. So it's a myth that he doesn't pose, can't go any further. We can. We will.
Doug Weed, thanks a lot for talking with us. That is Ron Paul, campaign advisor.
My pleasure.
Doug Weed, thanks. He's speaking to us from Iowa. A moment ago, we heard Matt Continetti, who got a ringing endorsement of his interpretation of the Republican calendar from Doug Weed of the Ron Paul campaign. I was hearing a dissent from Mara Liasson in the studio.
Well, the idea that a long, drawn-out fight strengthens the party, gets people excited, brings more voters to the polls, you can register them while you're doing it, and you get yourself the equivalent of a Barack Obama, I think is a good theory, and it was the theory. The problem is that if we get a muddled finish out of Iowa, as you predict, the other candidates who come out in the muddle with Mitt Romney have to have the resources to be able to go the distance so that they can get their proportion of these proportionally divided delegates. And I don't know if Rick Santorum or Ron Paul can do that. Despite Ron Paul's obvious grassroots appeal in libertarian-oriented places like New Hampshire, that's just, you know, that remains to be seen. I think that as the race goes on, Romney's resources and organizational strength become much more important than they do in the early states like Iowa and New Hampshire.
Matt, you have 5 seconds to reply.
Eventually, Romney will have to start winning contests if he wants to get the nomination.
Well, Romney, Paul, Santorum all running well in the Iowa caucuses, according to the early data we've seen. This is NPR News' coverage of the Iowa caucuses. From NPR News, this is live coverage of the Iowa caucuses. I'm Robert Siegel. We are watching both entrance polls and some actual caucus tallies now, and we're now seeing a very close race involving three candidates, Mitt Romney, Ron Paul, and Rick Santorum. Caution, this is preliminary data. It comes to us and to other media organizations as well from Edison Research. So a tight race in the Iowa caucuses is what we can say. We're certainly not about to declare or to observe a winner by any means at this point. Joining us from Iowa right now is Kathy Obradovich, who is a columnist for the Des Moines Register.
Good evening.
How are you?
Terrific.
And you've seen probably the same numbers that I've seen. What do you make of what's happened in Iowa this
season? Well, I think that a close nail-biting result at the end is probably the result of the fact that many, many voters have gone into their caucuses undecided. They are listening to their neighbors and making up their minds. And frankly, Iowa caucus goers have been very divided and split all along. We've got sort of three different elements of the Republican Party who are battling it out for victory. And so far, none of them really has an edge.
None of them really, even of those three candidates.
No. Ron Paul is bringing in lots of new people, mm-hmm. A lot of younger people, and people who are new to the caucuses. In a few reports that I've had so far from around the state, his campaign seems pretty organized, and that is helpful. Rick Santorum is supposedly the hot candidate. He's the one who's sort of riding a surge. And so has attracted some attention, but didn't have as much organization to back him. And of course, Mitt Romney is the candidate who probably has the strongest organization in Iowa, or perhaps at least the only other one that could match Ron Paul's. And he's been just trying to hang on to mm-hmm. a lead in the polls.
Although not too long ago, he wasn't going to contest Iowa very seriously. So this is a lead that he came by fairly late in the plan. Mm-hmm.
He spent the least time in Iowa of any other candidate, and it's really just been in the last couple of weeks that he has put on sort of a full-court press, traveling around the state and trying to talk to as many voters as possible, and last night even declaring that we're going to win this thing.
Well, Kathy Obradovich, thanks a lot for joining us this evening. She's a columnist for the Des Moines Register. And now we're going to hear from a member of Congress, Republican from Iowa, who uncharacteristically did not endorse a candidate. That is Steve King, Republican. Welcome to the program. Are you there, Congressman King?
Yes, I am.
Good. Hi.
Good evening.
Well, let's assume that the numbers hold up as they appear to be now, which is pretty close three-way finish involving Romney, Paul, and Santorum. Does that affect your calculus about whether it's time to endorse a candidate or not?
No, probably not. I mean, I wasn't able to come. And, you know, as of yesterday afternoon, I finally realized it's just not, that conviction is not going to be there. And so I made that announcement yesterday afternoon about 4 o'clock. And if to make an endorsement after the votes are counted would be viewed as a rather less than courageous maneuver.
I think that's fair. But of the three candidates who are running well in Iowa, are they equally appealing to you? Or let's take Paul, whose ideas on defense and foreign policy are quite unorthodox for the Republican Party. Is he someone you could see endorsing just as easily as endorsing Mitt Romney or Rick Santorum?
Well, you know, probably not. And the reasons I've been pretty vocal on it, first, I congratulate Ron Paul. I've 9 years in Congress. I've served with him. He's constantly focused on the Constitution, and he's raised that issue as a campaign. He's brought young people into it. And he's also the strong proponent of sound money and auditing the Fed. There's many things that Ron Paul has been right on, and I'm glad that that's an engagement.
Auditing
the national defense side of this.
Is he in favor of auditing the Fed, or is he in favor of doing away with the Federal Reserve
System? Well, he's in favor, I think, of doing away with the Fed, but he's led the charge to audit the Fed. And we got a partial audit. We didn't get it all done. And so I know we need to go back and finish that before we can draw a conclusion. But I think he's ready to get rid of the Fed. And have taken the audit as a path along the way.
Do you buy the electability argument? Did you see one of these candidates as being remarkably stronger in the fall against Barack Obama than the other two?
You know, it's just different. I do think that Ron Paul would have significant trouble, especially in the national defense side, being willing to announce that he would bring all of our military back to the 50 states inside the borders of the United States of America, and that includes our Navy. That's just an intolerable position to take, thinking about all the blood that's been spilled around the world and giving that all up. But so that makes it, that's difficult, very difficult from an electoral standpoint. And, other than that, if I look at the other two candidates, Mitt Romney, Rick Santorum, looks to me like their appeal in a general election is going to be roughly equal. Mm-hmm. And either one of them is more appealing, I believe, than the president we have. They focus on different things. Mitt Romney is a consummate executive. He's been an executive in the private sector business world. an executive as the governor of Massachusetts. And Rick Santorum is a he's a solid constitutionalist that has deep convictions, and he understands radical Islam as well as anybody in the race. I'll say better than anybody in the race. And he brings those things to bear. So when I look at that, yeah. we'd always be working to working with a president, sometimes to try to manage the president. Of course, that's it. We weigh in on what we believe in. We try to get the president to go along with it. It could be a different set of priorities with Mitt Romney versus Rick Santorum.
Well, Congressman
either
King,
one could make a good president.
Either one, and you think either one could run strong in the fall?
I do.
Okay.
I do, and about equally strong.
Steve King, thanks for talking with us.
Thanks for having me.
Congressman King, Iowa Republican, speaking to us from Des Moines, saying that at least Mitt Romney and Rick Santorum, both of whom are running very well tonight, strike him as viable, strong candidates and potentially good presidents. He had some more qualified remarks about Ron Paul. Don Gagne is at Santorum headquarters in Iowa and joins us right now. Do the Santorum folks think they've done very well tonight, Don?
They are laying low so far. The candidate is still out and about and has not made any kind of an appearance here. But I can tell you, I did see Rick Santorum working the crowd at the Summit Middle School in advance of the caucus, precinct number 3, Johnson County, in city of Johnson in Polk County. And he was very upbeat. He was very well received. People were anxious to get their picture taken with him. And kind of contrast that to some of the other surrogates who were there. Rand Paul, the senator and the son of Texas Congressman Ron Paul, was there. And he was kind of there in the middle and not creating much of a scene. Perhaps people didn't recognize him. But Senator Santorum, the former senator, did say he feels very good that the campaign goes on from here, and it's a matter of them feeling like they really can't lose as long as they finish in one of those top 3 slots, given where they were just not very long ago.
Thank you, Don. Don Gagne with our coverage of the Iowa caucuses from NPR News. From NPR News, this is live coverage of the Iowa caucuses. I'm Robert Siegel. Entrance polls show a very close race involving 3 Republicans, Ron Paul, Mitt Romney, and Rick Santorum.
You can't buy Iowa. You got to work hard. You got to let the people see who you are, look you in the eye, and see whether you measure up to what they believe is necessary to be the best president of the United States.
This is special coverage from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel with live coverage of the Iowa caucuses. I'm joined in our studio by NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving. Ron, what are we seeing so far?
Robert, we're seeing, among other things, that the leading candidates in the first tier, that is to say Mitt Romney, Ron Paul, and Rick Santorum, are sharing about 3/4 of the vote, nearly 3/4 of the vote in the data that we have thus far. That means the other 3, the lower tier of candidates, Newt Gingrich, Rick Perry, and Michelle Bachmann, have virtually disappeared. They simply are not getting a substantial number of votes at all from any of these categories. They don't really rise in any of the breakdowns demographically or in terms of what people are motivated by. And, of course, we're seeing that about 1 in 4 of these participants do not normally think of themselves as Republicans. They think of themselves as independents or even, perish the thought, as Democrats. But they came to vote in the Republican caucuses tonight, and because they were willing to sign on as Republicans for tonight, they were allowed to do that. And half of those people are voting for Ron Paul. Now, this would seem to underline the potential for the Paul candidacy in later events, either caucuses or primaries, where independents are allowed to come and participate.
Ron Elving, I'll come back to you in a moment, though, but you mentioned the three major candidates who are at the bottom of the heap today. One of them, Newt Gingrich, and NPR's David Shaper is at Gingrich headquarters at the Veterans Memorial Auditorium in Des Moines. What are you hearing there, David?
Well, there's some optimism that maybe this night might not turn out too well, but that Mr. Gingrich can do a little bit better down the line. I think there's some frustration here as well, though, because Newt Gingrich was just hammered by negative advertising, 45% by their count of the ads on television in the state of Iowa over these past 4 weeks or so have been negative attacks on Speaker Gingrich, and they feel like maybe he should have hit back a little harder. Maybe he should have hit back a little sooner. He's only in the last couple of days come out in news conferences and availabilities and in his speeches attacking the front runner, well, the presumed front runner, mm-hmm. Mr. Former Governor Romney. And it's Mitt Romney's PAC, super PAC, that's been running so many of these ads attacking Gingrich's record, and it's just been, I think, a really frustrated sore point with a lot of folks associated with the Gingrich campaign.
Well, you've been following Newt Gingrich over the past, very closely over the past couple mm-hmm. of days, and there seems to have been a no more Mr. Nice Guy theme to the past day or two. Does that mean that we expect Newt Gingrich to move on to New Hampshire and be a very, very tough critic of Mitt Romney's?
I think you're going to see the gloves come off, and I think you're going to see Newt Gingrich be very aggressive, and it's a little bit of a fine line for them to straddle, because they don't want him to come off as too acerbic and too angry, and they don't want to bring up images of that angry Newt Gingrich from the 1990s, and it's a balancing act that they have to be careful about, and not in trying to not make him go off and possibly hurt himself in the process that he tries to hurt Mitt Romney.
I mean, the great success when Gingrich was doing very well in the polls was he was not seen as that pugnacious leader of the House Republicans from
that's
the
right.
early 90s.
That's right. And actually, when you see him in a lot of the settings, in the when he's at a coffee shop or at a tavern or at some sort of a venue where he's talking straight to the voters, a lot of the questions don't deal with the negative advertising. He will go off on it a little bit, but in the what he's been saying here in Iowa is telling Iowa voters, most of whom will say when polled, yes, we hate negative advertising. Well, here's your chance to do something about it. And he's really been hitting that point hard, that if you vote for me here in Iowa, it sends a message to Washington that negative ads don't work. But unfortunately, it doesn't seem like it doesn't seem like it's going to do him all that much good.
Okay, David, thanks. That's NPR's David Shaper at Gingrich headquarters in Des Moines. Ron Elving, you mentioned that it's not just Newt Gingrich, but also Michelle Bachmann, Rick Perry, are not running up there in the top tonight. Is Iowa actually the great winnower, the battlefield from which those at the bottom do not return?
It has been, to some degree, that in the past. In this particular case, I think what we're seeing is Iowa's conservative, socially conservative, religiously conservative voters, white evangelical Protestants, saying, as we've anticipated for weeks, they can read the newspapers too. They hear what everyone is saying. They hear that their vote is not going to be considered as important if they don't consolidate behind one candidate as they did behind Mike Huckabee in 2008. So they decided they would do so, and their choice was Rick Santorum.
That's NPR's Ron Elving, and this is NPR's coverage of the Iowa caucuses. I'm Robert Siegel. From NPR News, this is special live coverage of the Iowa caucuses. I'm Robert Siegel, and we are watching a tight race for the lead in Iowa right now. It involves three Republican candidates, former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney, Texas Congressman Ron Paul, and the former Republican Senator from Pennsylvania, Rick Santorum. Trailing them, Newt Gingrich, Rick Perry, and Michelle Bachmann. These results come from actual caucus returns, which appear to match what we were seeing in early entrance polls as well. You can follow all the latest results and find more analysis at our website, npr.org, by the way. And we are now going to turn to Andy Kohut, who's been looking at all these poll numbers and trying to figure out what they mean.
Pretty amazing, Robert. Santorum emerges as the candidate more appealing to the staunch conservatives than Mitt Romney. And we've seen that throughout the course of this campaign. There's been any number of them, and he emerges just in the last few days, because that's when most people say they've turned to him. And he beats Romney 33-13 among the people who say they're very conservatives, the caucus goers. Among the Tea Party people, supporters, he beats Romney 18-27. And among the white evangelicals by a comparable margin. Romney, on the other hand, divides the Republican vote with him, but it's a different kind of Republican vote. It's the people who either are neutral about the Tea Party or oppose them. And there is a recurring pattern. These very conservative people have turned to turned to have looked for alternatives, and he seems to be the latest alternatives. And then you have Ron Paul, mm-hmm. who is the maverick, and he appeals to the maverick participants, the younger independents, the people who have never voted before, and the non-Republicans.
Yes, non-Republicans could attend the caucuses if they then register on the spot and become Republicans, but at least for purposes of entrance polling, they weren't Republicans yet.
Here's the comparison on that. 24% of these people describe themselves usually as independents. 4 years ago, only 18% of the caucus goers described themselves as independents. So we have more independents, we have more younger voters, and they've been drawn into this event by Ron Paul.
Well, Ron Paul then is the magnet here. He's the one who's bringing them into the tent. Is what you're saying?
He's bringing them into the tent, and all three of these candidates have very different constituencies. Mitt Romney's is a mainstream, more moderate Republican voter. Santorum, the staunch conservatives, and Ron Paul, the people who are not Republicans.
Right.
Typically.
And who, of course, Ron Paul, as we're going to hear in a moment now, Ron Paul is identified with some positions that are anathema to the other candidates in the race. He's very much in favor of cutting back the U.S. defense footprint overseas, of not getting involved in a war with Iran, and being tough on Iran seems to be an article of faith with everybody else in the race. NPR's Ted Robbins is at Ron Paul headquarters. That's at the Courtyard Des Moines Ankeny in Ankeny, Iowa. Do I have that right?
You've got that right, Robert.
Well, are they happy with what they're seeing so far?
So far, so good. The room is just starting to fill up because, obviously, the caucuses ended not too long ago. And I'd have to say that a lot of young people, meaning not gray-haired. It's about as close as I can get it in this room. And they are very happy with what they're seeing, and also out in the lobby. I have to say that, we just came from a caucus site near here where we were talking to you earlier, mm-hmm. and listening. And there were, just as you were just talking about, we talked to a number of people who were registering, coming in and registering tonight, who were independents, and they were registering just for tonight as Republicans so they could vote for Ron Paul. And that table, the registration table, had about twice as many people consistently as the rest. And indeed, we just called the precinct, got the results, and Paul won narrowly, 42 votes to 40 votes for Rick Santorum and 31 for Romney, about 160 votes total in that precinct. So it's close, but mm-hmm. But Ron Paul is holding here north of Des Moines.
We should just add here that the vote totals in these individual caucuses are pretty small. 4 years ago, the total Republican turnout in the caucuses statewide in Iowa was just under 120,000. And 25% of that, which is what Mitt Romney polled 4 years ago, is obviously about 30,000, just under 30,000 voters. So a couple of thousand people here or there who are added to the mix can have a big impact on the result.
That's right. And as we know, not just in this election, but the last one, the Ron Paul supporters are loyal, and they get out there, and boy, they stick by their man.
Ted Robbins at Ron Paul headquarters in Iowa. Thanks, Ted.
You're welcome.
And now we turn to reporter Ben Philpott of member station KUT in Austin. He's far from home in Des Moines, Iowa. But your state's governor is there. You're at Rick Perry headquarters. Perry is in the back of the pack here. He's running with among the bottom three of the main candidates. Do people regard it as a setback? Does it in any way derail his plans for further states?
Well, I think that his internal polling started to show this maybe about a week ago. They definitely were showing the Santorum surge and began to attack him there. But within the last 2 days, the governor's message, at least at every stop, one time he's mentioned the idea that this is a marathon, not a sprint. This is just the first mile of the race, and that he's ready to go on. You saw the campaign today take out purchase ad time in South Carolina. So that. You maybe would set up stops ahead of time that you could easily cancel if you decide to cut out of Iowa, but but he's actually buying ad time there. So I think they're planning to move on and hope that this can be a long race that he can maybe play catch-up in.
I understand his case in thinking he could do well in a southern state in either South Carolina or possibly Florida. But New Hampshire, I mean, if Iowa was hostile territory, is New Hampshire any better from his standpoint?
No, New Hampshire is very hostile territory. In fact, you've already seen that he's going to make an 11-stop, two-and-a-half-day tour of South Carolina before immediately after the Iowa caucuses and before he goes to New Hampshire for the two debates up there over the weekend. And then it is probably immediately back down to South Carolina. I'm not even sure that they're going to have a presence on election night in New Hampshire.
Okay, that's reporter Ben Philpott speaking to us from Rick Perry headquarters in West Des Moines at the Sheraton. He's from member station KUT. Thanks a lot,
Thank
Ben.
You.
Good to hear from you. Ron Kaufman is a senior advisor to the Romney campaign. He's in Des Moines. Mr. Kaufman, this looks to us like a very close three-way race with Santorum and Paul both doing as well as Governor Romney did. Are you at all disappointed?
No, just the opposite, Robert. We're really pleased with tonight. We don't know where it's all going to end, but as you know, we spent very little time and money here in the battle for Iowa. Didn't go with straw poll, and we're very excited. A month ago, no one thought we had a shot at this, and we'll either come in the top three, and we're really happy with where we are and what the voters are saying here in Iowa tonight.
What does your campaign make of the strong showing by Congressman Paul? He stands for some very different things, certainly in foreign policy, from what Governor Romney stands for. Is he a member of the same Republican family as the governor?
Oh sure. I mean, we may disagree with particularly in foreign policy issues, but Ron Paul has run twice before. He brings a varied and different group of people to the voting booths. And the good thing about the Republican Party is we have diverse groups. And Ron Paul brings perhaps a different group to the table, and as does perhaps former Senator Santorum and Governor Romney. And in the end, it's that kind of coalition that's going to end up putting our nominee in the White House.
Does his finishing in the top three, not in the lead, but in the top three, we think, in Iowa, does that mean that Governor Romney really has to clean up in his neighboring state of New Hampshire to show that he's the strongest candidate in the race?
No, I think, Robert, the rules of the Republican Party in selecting delegates have changed and have elongated the process. Our goal, Robert, from day one, was build an operation that could win 1,140 delegates to become the nominee. And we'd love to win every state, but we're going to compete in every state. And in the end, Mitt will be the nominee rolling into Tampa in September.
When you say in the end, before we get to Tampa, when do you think the end will be, or will it be in Tampa at the convention?
That's a great question, Robert. If I knew the answer to that question, I'd tell you. I don't think anyone knows, quite frankly. But we've overachieved here tonight, no matter how it ends up, whether we end up on the first or second or third.
You know, one could say that might have been the case a couple of months ago, but after the time that Governor Romney put in and the amount of television advertising that we've heard he bought in Iowa, it looked like he was pretty much all in Iowa.
Well, with all due respect, Robert, we spent the less amount of time here of any major candidates by a lot. To his credit, Rick Santorum ran for governor of Iowa for the last 6 months, and to his credit, he worked hard at it. Ron Paul's won here three times now, put a lot more time, a lot more effort, and a ton more money. Governor Romney spent very little time here.
Right.
The campaign spent very little cash here and very little resources. 4 years ago, we had 50 members, staff members here.
Mm-hmm.
This time, we had five. It's a different cycle, and I think that his message of, listen, this campaign really means a lot. We must replace Obama in the White House, and I think Mitt's record on the economy, on the job he did at the Olympics and the job he did as governor is resonating well.
Well, Ron Kaufman, thank you very much for talking with us.
Robert, good to talk with you.
So Ron Kaufman, advisor to the Romney campaign, speaking to us from Des Moines. NPR national political correspondent Mara Liasson is in the studio. I guess the Romney people can play this as No, he barely tried, is what I'm hearing from Monica.
I thought that was pretty interesting. All along, they've kind of played the expectation game. First of all, they couldn't decide whether they wanted to really compete in Iowa because they didn't want to do what they did last time, which is spend a lot of money, work really hard, and come up short. So they tied themselves in knots trying to pretend they weren't really competing. But the fact is he was all in. And Ron Kaufman says we didn't spend as much. But his super PAC, which you have to count in the amount of money spent on behalf of Mitt Romney, spent millions and millions of dollars, most of it. I think they spent $3 million just bashing Newt Gingrich. So I think he did try hard, and I think he's doing quite well. He might not come out with a win, but at least what we're seeing, he's neck and neck with Rick Santorum. He's certainly going to finish in the top three. So they've got the spin is so complex and so furious that you have to kind of sort it all out. On the one hand, they're happy to finish in the top three. On the other hand, they really didn't try very hard. So this is an amazing victory for them because they barely competed in Iowa at all.
Oh, well, the glass is either a half empty.
So that was Olympic spin that you just heard.
Oh,
Olympic
good.
Style
Olympics.
Spin.
Thank you very much for that analysis, NPR's Mara Liasson. This is live coverage of the Iowa caucuses. I'm Robert Siegel, and this is NPR News.